Hi, this is Anita from Reluctant Low Carb Life. Reluctant Low Carb Life is where we like to talk about the trifecta of health, which we believe to be fresh foods, foods that help you feel full longer or have satiety, and also fitness, to be able to get out, move, and to be fit. Today we're going to talk about or unpack and understand, why don't I feel full? Sometimes after you eat something, you might say, in an hour later, you might be, I'm really hungry. I do not feel full. I just ate this big meal and I don't feel full. Today, we're going to talk a bit about that, why you don't feel full, and about satiety. People might sometimes wonder if there's a certain magic between feeling full or satisfied after you eat something. You know, with the swirl of diet trends and wellness and all these different ways of people telling you different ways to eat, eat this, don't eat this. It's no wonder that the diet industry is, in fact, the diet industry is a over $76 billion industry annually. That's a huge industry. Yet, at the same time, on the low end of the spectrum, some people say that its success rate is only 5%, or there's a 95% failure, or other people say it's 19%. Whatever it is, this industry has failed at least anywhere between 80 to 95%. Yet it's a huge industry. And so when you look at this, you realize that the diet industry in many ways has failed. It is a failure for an industry. But yet it's an industry that yet continues to keep on growing, that we keep finding coming out with new diets, new ways of eating, new things. That is one reason why here at Reluctant Low Carb Life, we instead choose to look at lifestyle and some basic lifestyle choices, which I've talked about before with the trifecta of health, which is basically eating fresh foods, foods that help you feel full, and also foods, also fitness or having movement in your life. So let's look at hunger and fullness or satiety and how understanding the dynamics between this dual could be the secret to seeking a much covenant balance of a lifestyle. And that really is what this is about, is what is the lifestyle? How do we have a balanced lifestyle in all of this? First of all, you need to understand that there's a difference between physical, emotional, and or psychological hunger. Your physical hunger is when your body alerts you and tells you that you are hungry. You can maybe feel your stomach is maybe growling, your stomach is telling you, I am hungry. Psychological hunger, though, it's a completely different beast. This could be like sudden, urgent. Often you can be fixated on something specific. Maybe you walk past something in the store and you're just like, oh, I gotta have that. I'm so hungry for that. I have to have that. It's the, you know, late night chocolate cravings. It's the ice cream you need to have at night. It's the emotional reaction to a certain type of food, whether it's not a genuine need for the substance. In other words, it's not a real hunger. It's a psychological hunger. You often we're reactive rather than proactive. And so, you know, so maybe we're not really in tune with our bodies. We don't understand that the signal that our body is giving us is actually a, you know, psychological hunger. It's not, or an emotional hunger, and it is not a real physical hunger. That maybe we eat just because it's time to eat. Maybe we eat because it's a certain holiday. Oh, we need to eat. Maybe we eat because, you know, it's, I'm really not hungry at all, but I'd really like to have that piece of cake. Or maybe we eat because we walk past something or we drive past something and suddenly we feel hunger. We feel this need that we have to eat it. That's because with psychological hunger, it's not just the stomach that's calling the shots. When you have real physical hunger, it's the stomach that could be calling the shots. But our brain could also be dictating and giving us hunger signals. That is why when you go back and you talk about the statistics of the diet industry, where it is a $76 billion industry and growing, but yet their failure rate is anywhere between 80 1% to 95%, depends upon which end of the spectrum you look at. It's an industry which has essentially failed. It's an industry which failed. That when people, you know, put you on a diet, they know that huge percent will not ever make it, but yet they continue to take the money for it. And that is because they're looking at it as a diet and not as a lifestyle change. Also because our emotions play so much throughout the day. That's what makes dieting itself so difficult. It's because our emotions are playing on our body throughout the day, especially if you're a woman like I am. The hormones, you know, when you go through certain, you know, times of your life, your hormones can become more wired than other times of your life. You know, so the hormones can also make a difference and play and influence your body. Sleep can also play, too, a significant role if you don't have enough sleep and you're feeling tired. And so, you know, all of us have been there where it's like we didn't get enough sleep the night before, or maybe it's been a few days to get enough sleep. Maybe you were up with some child throughout the night. Maybe, you know, something else happened. You're up with, you know, somebody else throughout the night. Maybe you work through the night. Maybe, you know, you're up watching a movie just because the movie was so good. Wake up the next day. You don't get your exercise in. You're tired. And then you start making bad choices throughout the day. You reach for the caffeine. Maybe you reach for the chocolate bar. You start reaching for those foods that maybe make you feel good. They make you feel comfortable. And before you know it, you've suddenly eaten all this junk food and you didn't eat the food that you needed to eat. That's what makes this all so difficult, is because of this innate relationship that our bodies have emotionally and psychologically with food. And this emotional side of our eating can actually be huge, because it can actually mean too that, you know, maybe you eat something not because you really like it, because it brings back this great childhood memory. The last few months for me have been extremely stressful times. In November, we lost my father. I went home for his funeral, flew back to Asia where I live, came back at Christmas time to help my mother, who was in need of help. We had my father's memorial service, and within a short period of time, my mother's health went downhill, and 12 days later, she had also passed away. So essentially, I lost both my parents 2 months and 4 days apart. An extremely stressful time, a time of extreme emotions, cleaning up the house where our family had lived for over 55 years. Looking through all of the memories, remembering the good memories. It was an emotional time. I found myself emotionally eating things that made me feel good, certain types of comfort food, reaching for them instead of for the foods that I knew was healthy. Even though in my brain I knew that it's maybe not the right choice, emotionally all that comfort food helped me and made me feel better. That is really the trigger that happens in our brains when we start eating emotionally, is there our physical part of our hunger is fighting against the emotional part. And so we have this battle constantly going on. You know, sometimes in your life, and I sort of did this for myself, as I just said, you know, sometimes maybe you need to take a little bit of a break. You know, you can try to eat good for so long, and maybe every once in a while you might have a week or 2 weeks or so where you can say, I'm going to take a little bit of a break because of this complete and total stress in my life. That is okay. Don't beat yourself up over that. But then decide that you're going to get back on track and get back to doing those things you need to do. For me, a couple of things that I find that sort of helps me in doing it is I try each day to write down what I eat. And then when I write down what I eat, I try to write down my mood. What was my mood for the day? During that month of February, when I was dealing with the house cleaning, dealing with the funerals, dealing with everything else that was going on, there were many times when I didn't write down what I ate. And then plus on top of that, you know, flying back overseas, dealing with jet lag and all of that, I was tired. I was exhausted. I can tell you firsthand that being tired and being exhausted can lead to some poor choices in life in general. But it's very important that you understand what is going on there and then you work to get yourself back on track as soon as possible. So, you know, the next time you're having this type of thing going on, have a conversation with your inner hunger and with your satiety systems, or that system that helps you feel full. And talk to yourself and say, is this really the best choice for me to be able to feel full? Or in a couple hours later, am I going to feel hungry again? Am I going to be reaching for those things that I should not be eating? You know, life is not merely about, you know, abs or calories. You know, it's also about shared brunches, grandma's secret recipes. It's about simple joys of satisfying a pang of hunger. You know, that's why we really believe here, and that's why we call this website Reluctant Low Carb Life, and that's why I reluctantly, you know, said about the low carb lifestyle and the keto lifestyle, which, by the way, is a great way. Many people lose weight on it, but it's also very restrictive. I am a great believer in basically living a balanced life and living through the trifecta of health, which means, you know, cutting out sugar in your life, cutting out processed foods, and eating foods which are fresh, foods that can help you feel full longer, and also getting fitness and movement in your life. That's why I'm a great believer of those three things, and I'm very passionate about them, because life is full of many, you know, different types of experiences. We're going to have times where we may have to deal with unexpected death. We may have to suddenly clean out a childhood home that's going to be full of many memories that maybe you don't, you know, want to have to clean out. You're going to have to deal with some difficult things in your life. Difficult things are going to happen to us. That is just going to be the nature of life. That is what is going to happen to us in life. But how we deal with those and how we deal with the food in our lives is what can make all the difference for us long term. That is why it doesn't take a scientist or a psychologist or even a health coach or a coach to tell you that your emotional well-being can be tied to your eating. In other words, that many of us will emotionally eat. We will eat when we are not hungry. We will eat when we are stressed. We are stressed. We will eat when maybe we feel anger. We will eat when we feel sadness. We will eat when we feel pain. We will turn to food. Many of us are emotional eaters. I am an emotional eater. You know, so it doesn't take long to wrap our heads around this science that, you know, that food can be tied to our emotions and to our appetite. You know, that is why maybe sometimes you have done like me. Maybe when you felt distressed, you've zeroed in on a chocolate chip cookie and you've forgotten a meal. You know, you've forgotten the healthy foods because of the fact that somehow that chocolate chip cookie or that chocolate or whatever made you feel this emotional wellness that the salad did not. That is just part of life. So the question becomes, how are we going to deal with it? Emotional eating is about consuming food driven by emotions rather than physical hunger. It is that psychological hunger, that psychological side of our eating, which is such a driving power in the foods that we eat. It's also one of the reasons why I am against ultra-processed foods, not because I don't like ultra-processed foods. In fact, there's many ultra-processed foods that I like and that I enjoy. But I also understand that ultra-processed foods will not leave you feeling full. And that before you know it, you know, you've eaten a whole bag of Oreos when you only thought you were going to eat one or two. Or you ate the whole bag of chocolate chip cookies when you thought you would only eat one or two. Or you ate the whole carton of ice cream when you really only planned on eating one or two. That is because those foods do not have the nutrient values for you to be able to feel full longer. That instead, if you ate a meal with fresh foods and you felt full, and then you'd probably maybe only just eat one chocolate chip cookie. That's not going to kill you. One or two Oreos isn't going to hurt you. It's when you consume so many of them that you don't realize how many you're consuming. That is when you are emotionally eating, not eating for your hunger. And as I mentioned before, we're all going to have stressful times in our lives. So the decision is deciding, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to not reach for the comforting snack and instead reach for something which will help you feel full and will also be fresh and will be better for you in the long term. That is why we need to listen, acknowledge, and make the wise choice. Because emotional eating is going to dictate to you a very unhealthy lifestyle. And that's what it really comes down to, is emotional eating. If you are always going to emotionally eat, you are going to eat a very unhealthy lifestyle, because that's really, nobody emotionally eats a whole head of broccoli. Nobody emotionally eats a whole bag of carrots. No, when we emotionally eat, it's the things which are not good for us. In fact, if you are emotionally eating a whole bag of carrots, good for you. You know, then you are one of the people that's basically eating good food. But most people will not sit down and say, oh, I feel so stressed, I feel so sad. No, they're going to reach for the bag of chocolates. They're going to reach for the carton of ice cream. They're going to reach for the bag of cookies. That is what the emotional eating is going to be, not the foods which are healthy for us. As one of my coaches once said to me, nobody ever gets fat on a head of broccoli. She's right. You know, like, people don't get fat on a head of broccoli or a cauliflower. It's from the other choices and the other foods we make. And it's the other parts of our lifestyle that we make and those choices that lead to the weight gain and lead to poor health. It's those poor emotional choices we make that lead to us making choices which affect our health and well-being. Now I want to talk a little bit about satiety. There's a lot of talk about satiety lately, which satiety basically means an eating food that will help you feel satisfied or full longer. It is also why if you eat a meal that may be laden with carbohydrates and sugar, and you eat a whole lot of it, why suddenly in about an hour, you're feeling hungry again. And you're feeling like, oh, I need to eat again. It's because that meal did not have the satiety. So do certain foods enhance feelings of fullness more than others? This is the question you need to ask yourself. Are there certain foods that you can eat that will help you to feel full longer, help you to feel satisfied longer? They will help you to be able to feel like you don't have to go out and eat in the next hour or two. The answer is yes. You know, so yes, certain foods, particularly those that are rich in, and here's the key here, protein, fiber, and healthy fats. Remember those three things, protein, fiber, and healthy fats can help you to feel full longer, help you feel satisfied longer, help you to feel like you don't need to turn around and grab food in the next, you know, hour or the next half an hour or the next 2 hours. Things, you know, foods such as eggs, chicken, Greek yogurt, they are great foods. And when you eat these foods, you will feel full for a longer period of time. Why? Because of the fact that they have these things. They have the protein, fiber, and the healthy fats to them. You know, other things such as vegetables, fruits, whole grains can also be great things for you to be able to eat that will help you to feel full longer. You compare that to if you eat, you know, like white bread, or you eat processed potato chips, or you eat, you know, French fries and, you know, a hamburger at McDonald's. You're going to be hungry within a short period of time because those foods will not make you feel full for a long period of time. You, in fact, will feel hungry within a short period of time. You know, and so, you know, other things like healthy snacks, such as avocados, is a great snack. You know, if you put avocado in something, it can help you feel full for a long period of time. You know, even things like, you know, eating an apple with sugar-free peanut butter on it, a great snack which will help you feel full for a longer period of time. You can basically make these choices for all these different foods that will help you to be able to feel full longer. And as you do that, then, you know, then you will not reach for the fridge, you know, in the middle of the night and decide, I've got to, you know, eat that piece of pizza, I've got to eat that chocolate cake or all of those things, that it will help you to be able to feel full or feel satiety much longer than if you eat the other types of foods. So, you know, this is really, I understand, is a very complex subject. It's a very, you know, for many of us, emotional eating is very complex, is the reason why we eat. I understand that. I get that. I understand how complex it is. But if you can first begin to understand and see why you're emotionally eating, understand, you know, here, and first of all, even understand that you are doing it. First of all, here's I'm doing it. And then back away and say, what are some better choices that I can make? Do I really feel full now? Or do I really feel hungry now? And then you can look back and look at your choices and say, here, maybe I should have made a better choice here with that. And if you start doing that bit by bit and changing your life, then you will change your lifestyle. Because then you will not be a statistic in this diet industry, which actually is a $76 billion industry and whose failure rate is between 81 to 95%, which means a 5% to maybe a 19% success rate, which is extremely low for any type of industry. But yet, it's an industry that continues to grow. That is why, again, we are advocates for food that is fresh, food that will help you remain full, and for getting out and moving, and for fitness. We'd like to thank you so much for being part of our community and joining on this journey with us. And, you know, today I hope you have some thoughts about emotional eating that maybe you haven't thought about before. I'm going to be putting in a link to our blog post, which was written by our writer, James Johnston, which is Unpack and Understand Why Didn't I Feel Full? He's got some great ideas in there, and maybe some reasons why you didn't feel full when you were eating something. And we hope that this will be able to help you to be able to change your focus on your eating and, in a sense, change your life, because that's what this is all about, is finding ways to change your life and for all of us to find ways to make our life be better. This is Anita from Reluctant Low Carb Life. We appreciate you listening and being part of our community. Thank you so much.